Hello and welcome to Volume 45, Number 18 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday, the 1st of May, 2026. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined by Desney and Margaret, who we dragged away from skipping around the maypole as this week's newsreaders. And in the news this week, more court cases than you can shake a judge at. The round-the-world cyclists are approaching home. And Thrigby have been shopping for another leopard. All this, plus Grapevine Extra, with all May's Vision Norfolk events, plus Desney on TV. First, though, a birthday. And our first May birthday is that of Monica Barber, who we wish a great day for Monday the 4th. Okay, with loads of news this week, so it's straight across to Margaret and Desney.
A man has been banned from Great Yarmouth Town Centre for breaching a Community Protection Notice, CPN. The arrest came as part of wider enforcement efforts by new beat managers patrolling King Street, Regent Road and the Marketplace since earlier this month. The police said their focus is on tackling antisocial behaviour. Officers will continue to patrol, listen to your concerns, work with Great Yarmouth Borough Council enforcement officers and provide updates on future actions, they said. Other recent incidents include two men being given acceptable behaviour contracts, ABCs, the seizure of two e-scooters for erratic riding and six stop searches, four of which resulted in positive drug results. In addition, 14 people were dealt with for retail theft and banned from town centre stores. 16 people were reported for breaching the Public Spaces Protection Order, PSPO, including drinking alcohol from open containers. The police also said that partnership working is ongoing to reduce parking issues on King Street. Officers described these actions as part of their daily efforts to make the town centre safer.
Hello everyone, Margaret here again. So if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin with my first news. Broad's boaters are calling out for modernisation of how they pay toll fees amid concerns some users are being priced out. A group of owners want to see monthly payments replace the current annual lump sum people pay the Broads Authority, that's the BA, to use the waterways. The Broads Reform Action Group, BRAG, say changes to the system would reduce strain on boaters and reduce avoidable administrative pressure for the authority itself. In modern life, monthly payment options are now widely accepted as the norm, including for many recurring public and household obligations, said Karen Morris, BRAG's chairwoman. People can pay council tax monthly, vehicle tax can be spread, and countless other essential payments are structured in a way that reflects how people actually manage their finances in a modern world. From April the 1st next year, boaters pay an annual fee to use their boat on the Broads. They range from £50 for a paddleboard to hundreds of pounds for large motor cruisers. Each additional square metre on the vessels could incur additional fees. The money raised is used to fund the maintenance of waterways. A spokesman for the BA said, "Members are annually consulted on the level of tolls and any changes to the system. This includes the Navigation Committee, which represents boat owners and toll payers. The last consultation on potential changes to how toll fees were paid took place in June 2023, but the spokesman added, the impact on cash flow and the administration of missed payments was likely to have an impact on the overall costs paid by toll payers. John Packman, the outgoing chief executive of the authority, said earlier this month, toll fee dodgers are placing extra pressure on its resources. Ms. Harris, however, believes the new system could reduce the demands placed on BA staff chasing payments. She added, a fair monthly payment option would reduce strain on boaters and reduce avoidable administrative pressure for the authority itself.
Care Home celebrates first year. Care Home residents tucked into cake as they celebrated a milestone with family and friends. Eversley Lodge Nursing Home in North Deans Road marked its first anniversary with a community celebration attended by residents, families, staff and special guests, including the Mayor of Great Yarmouth, Carl Annison, and the Mayoress. Nearly 100 people joined the event, including staff who attended on their day off. Danielle Bullant, home manager, said, it was truly special to bring so many people together. Residents, along with their families and friends, those who have joined us for respite stays, loved ones of residents who have sadly passed, our wonderful staff, both on and off shifts, and new faces discovering Eversley Lodge for the first time. This milestone wouldn't have been possible without the incredible dedication, compassion and hard work of our entire team. A heartfelt thank you to every member of staff. Guests enjoyed live jazz, close-up magic, face painting and treats, including ice cream and baked goods. Eversley Lodge is a boutique care home owned by Kingsley Healthcare.
A local care home must make significant improvements, the care watchdog has instructed. The Care Quality Commission, that's the CQC, has graded the Coach House in Hemsby as requires improvement, following an assessment it carried out in September 2025. It was re-inspected between October and November of the same year and found to still be in breach of regulations in relation to safety and governance. The assessment identified widespread systemic failings in safety, care quality, governance and person-centred care at the care home located on Yarmouth Road. It also discovered a new breach relating to treating people with dignity and respect. The report into the care home, which has a capacity for up to 61 people, found incident reporting to be lacking detail and analysis and safeguarding to be inconsistently applied. It added that people were not always treated with dignity and basic hygiene needs were not always met. Feedback from 13 family members highlighted that relatives generally felt safe living in the home, while many families were reassured by the level of supervision. The Coach House has been contacted for comment by the Mercury.
A travel agent is set to tie the knot on a cruise ship that shares her name. Iona Ginn, 31, from Great Yarmouth and a travel consultant with Hayes Travel, will marry on board P&O Cruises ship Iona in September 2027. She was inspired to choose the venue after a recent ship visit left her speechless and convinced it was the perfect place to say I do. She said, when I was on the ship visit last month, I just wanted to get married right there and then. I was speechless. I just love the atrium with its floor-to-ceiling windows and all the light in that space. We were researching wedding options and then we saw that P&O Cruises announced couples could get married on all its ships. We both love cruising, so we thought, let's go for it. This is us. It's something we wanted to do, so we took the plunge and we're so excited. Her fiancé, Harley, 28, proposed on November the 24th at Disney World, Florida, by the castle, after 5 years together. The couple will wed during a seven-night cruise to the Norwegian fjords, with a ceremony taking place at sea before they arrive in Stavanger, Norway. The ship Iona was launched by P&O Cruises in 2021 and named after the Scottish island of the same name, which also inspired Ms. Ginn's name. She said, "The fact we share a name is a winning point, and it feels like it was meant to be. Getting married at sea will be so magical. It's also amazing value. The cake, flowers, hair and makeup is all included, not something you normally see. We'll also get to make a week out of it and have our loved ones close by, which will be incredible."
And talking of weddings, we at Grapevine send congratulations and all best wishes to Colleen and Terry for their recent wedding. And I do hear Terry enjoys listening to his Grapevine recorder. Good on you, Terry. All the best for the future. Right, here we go again. A village plagued by duck deaths will get new crossing signs as soon as possible after a public outcry, the council has said. Several of the waterfowl have been mowed down after waddling onto West Road, a 30-mile-per-hour zone near Ormsby St Margaret's Duck Pond, in recent months. Campaigners say that drivers are not respecting the speed limit or are being too impatient, and they're to blame for their deaths. The spate of roadkill prompted a petition for duck crossing signs to be created, which drew more than 600 signatures and has now pushed the council to act. James Bensley, Conservative County Councillor for East Flegg, has confirmed he is now just waiting for the signs to be installed after receiving the green light. But a backlog of other more urgent sign repair and replacement work is currently being prioritised by the council. A spokesman for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "Wildfowl likely to be in the road ahead signs will be installed on both approaches to the pond. We will endeavour to get this implemented ASAP. However, we currently have £32,000 worth of routine sign post-replacement work orders in the system for the flags, which are currently being prioritised for repair and action, considering the defect size, location and usage of the road or path in question."
A family has been given the green light to expand their farm shop and cafe. Hurst's Farm Shop in Ormsby opened an enlarged shop and cafe and building in 2021. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has now granted planning permission for a single-storey extension to the business. The application said the extension would provide additional customer seating, improved food service space, a more functional kitchen and new toilets. The farm shop and cafe operate in a former agricultural building which has been extended and modified several times over the years. The plans indicate the development will require the removal of a section of the boundary wall shared with the neighbouring property to the rear. A neighbour of the site, while not objecting to their proposal, raised concerns regarding the wall and asked for a condition requiring the Hursts be responsible for costs relating to works on the existing boundary. Planners said a legal agreement would be required to be reached with the neighbouring landowner for the works to be carried out, but this would be a civil matter.
A man has been forced to pay almost £4,000 after he was caught fly-tipping in Great Yarmouth. Stefan Marganin of High Street Galston was caught on CCTV dumping large boxes and wrapping in row 114 on Deanside. The 44-year-old appeared at Great Yarmouth Magistrates Court on April the 17th and admitted the offence. The council launched its prosecution after receiving a complaint about the fly tip on February the 28th last year. CCTV evidence showed Marganin collecting the waste from a business in King Street at around 8:30 p.m. He then drove a short distance and dumped the rubbish at row 114 within 30 minutes. Marganin told the court he was remorseful, apologised and said he'd been doing a favour for a friend. He was fined £1,250 after a reduction for his guilty plea and ordered to pay a £500 victim surcharge and £1,980 in costs. A spokesman for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "Fly tipping is a huge concern for our residents. People are fed up of seeing illegally dumped waste blighting their communities. Cleaning it up puts a major strain on council resources and has to be paid for with taxpayers' money. This sends a clear message. If you dump rubbish, we will track you down and prosecute wherever possible." The business owner who supplied the waste received a fixed penalty notice. Last year, the council tackled 4,500 incidents of fly tipping and has 5 dedicated crews tackling the issue within the borough. "We can all help prevent fly tipping and do our bit to keep the borough tidy, so we can take pride in our neighbourhoods," the spokesman added. "Remember to refuse offers to have your rubbish taken away. It could be fly tipped and you could be fined. Be cautious of all waste carriers. Check they're registered with the Environment Agency's website. Refuse unexpected offers to have rubbish taken away. Ask how your waste will be disposed of. And don't forget to obtain paperwork."
A seafront hotel has hit the market with a guide price of nearly £1 million after almost 70 years of family ownership. The Palm Court Hotel on North Drive is available for freehold at £995,000. Overlooking the Venetian waterways, the 4-storey hotel has been owned by the same family since 1958 and is now being operated by the third generation. The hotel boasts a bar, a 40-cover restaurant and an 80-cover breakfast room that also serves as a room for functions, capable of fitting 80 to 100 guests. It also has an indoor heated swimming pool and 27 car parking spaces. Mark Phillips, senior associate at Florets, who is selling the property, said the Palm Court Hotel has been a cornerstone of Great Yarmouth's hospitality scene for decades. Its strong mix of leisure and commercial trade, combined with its exceptional seafront position and long-standing reputation, makes it a compelling opportunity for an operator seeking an established coastal business with clear potential for further development.
And another building up for sale. A former dog grooming salon with a 2-bedroom home above it is going under the hammer. The premises at 107 Northgate Street will be available to buy through the Auction House East Anglia sale on May the 7th. It comes with a guide price of between £70,000 and £90,000. The freehold property includes a ground floor retail unit with a large display window and a self-contained masonette over 3 floors. These are all now vacant and in need of refurbishment, as this is the first time the property has been on the market in 30 years. The flat has a kitchen and dining space, a sitting room, a bathroom, 2 bedrooms and an attic room. The shop has a rateable value of £2,950 from April 1st, 2026, while the residential element is in council tax band A with an EPC rating of D. Auction House East Anglia said there were additional fees, including a £1,200 admin charge payable on exchange. Viewings and legal pack details are available through the auctioneer's Norwich office.
A popular local American diner has launched its first franchise to mark its 50th anniversary year. Zach's first franchise is being led by local operators Jacob Potter and Jess Jarvis, who are taking the brand's Lil Blue Van to events, festivals and pop-ups across the county. Trading as Zach's on the Road, Norfolk, they will also be available for weddings and private events, serving up char-grilled burgers, wings, hot dogs and classic Zach's American favourites. Zach's co-owners, Chris Carr and Ian Hakon, have spent the last 2 years developing the Zach's on the Road franchise model. "Zach's has always been about great food, independence and community," Mr. Carr said. We're still a family-run business, and that doesn't change with Zach's on the road. Launching our first franchises right here in Norfolk, while still running our own vans, gives us the best of both worlds. Jacob and Jess have had an incredible reception so far, and we're fully behind them. Mr. Hakon added, the response so far has been fantastic. We're focused on supporting Jacob and Jess properly and growing this in a way that feels right for a family brand with deep Norfolk roots. The Norfolk franchise is a pilot for a wider rollout of Zach's on the Road, with applications for future franchises expected to open later this year. We've loved every minute of getting Zach's on the road out there, said franchisee Mr. Potter. The support from the Zach's family has been brilliant, and the reaction from customers so far has been amazing. People really connect with the food and the story behind it. Ms. Jarvis added, running the Little Blue Van has been such a buzz. There's real pride in taking a Norfolk institution on the road, and the welcome we've had has been fantastic. Founded in Norwich in 1976, Zach's has four restaurants in Norfolk, in Barrack Street, Mousehold, Poringland and Great Yarmouth. Zach's has also appointed Carl Sandel to its board in a non-executive role with a focus on franchising. I'm really pleased to be joining the board and supporting such an iconic Norwich brand as it moves into its next chapter, he said. Zach's has a fantastic history, a very loyal following, and a genuine sense of identity. Chris, Ian, and the wider team have built something special, and I'm looking forward to helping shape a franchising offer that feels true to the Zach's ethos while giving future partners the right support to succeed.
One of Britain's most advanced warships has been honoured by the town. HMS Dauntless, a Royal Navy destroyer, has been awarded the Freedom of the Borough of Great Yarmouth by Great Yarmouth Borough Council. Members of ship's crew joined an open-top bus tour of the town before taking part in a ceremony at the town hall to officially receive the award. Carl Annison, Mayor of Great Yarmouth, said, "It's an enormous honour for Great Yarmouth to be affiliated with one of the Royal Navy's most important ships. Great Yarmouth has a long and proud tradition of being associated with the Royal Navy, and Admiral Lord Nelson in particular." During his visit, Nelson was also granted the freedom of the borough, so it seems entirely appropriate to once again make a similar award to one of the Royal Navy's most modern ships. "We were delighted to welcome the crew, and it's a privilege for us to be able to grant the freedom of the borough and show our support for the vital work HMS Dauntless and the Royal Navy carries out on behalf of the United Kingdom." The air defence destroyer has been connected to Great Yarmouth since it joined the fleet in 2010. In October that year, the crew of the warship, which cost more than £1 billion to build, paraded from the town hall to St Nicholas Church for a public service to the acclaim of hundreds of people in the town. Lieutenant Commander Lindsay Aldridge, HMS Dauntless's Marine Engineering Officer, said, "HMS Dauntless recently completed an 8-month deployment, including visits to Australia and Japan, and transited through some of the most dangerous and contested waters in the world, projecting stability wherever she sailed. However, behind every sailor stands a network of families, friends and supporters, whose strength sustains us through long periods away from home. And now we are proud to include Great Yarmouth among those who stand with us."
A man was detained by police after a foot chase through Great Yarmouth. Officers had spotted a man acting suspiciously in the town on Friday night. He had been seen repeatedly walking up and down King Street, entering and exiting alleyways. A spokesman for the force said, after he approached the female officer with inappropriate questions, uniformed colleagues intervened. He ran, but was detained after a short foot chase, issued with a Section 35 dispersal notice, returned home by officers and given clear advice about his behaviour. Another person was seen repeatedly circling the same area for a prolonged time. He was spoken to and directed to leave the area. A third man was found urinating in public while intoxicated, exposing himself and behaving rudely towards officers. He was issued a Section 35 dispersal order to leave the area. The incidents arose as part of patrols in the nighttime economy areas of Great Yarmouth.
Officials have revealed how £20 million of government funding will be spent on a range of projects across Great Yarmouth. Great Yarmouth has been formally given the go-ahead to begin delivering its first wave of Pride in Place initiatives after the government endorsed a programme shaped by hundreds of local residents. The town is one of 70 areas selected to receive £20 million over the next decade, with the aim of strengthening communities and allowing local people to influence how investment is used. The Great Yarmouth Town Board, which includes community representatives and the town's MP, drew up the proposals following a major survey carried out in 2024. More than 700 residents shared their views, alongside contributions from local organisations and stakeholders. Their responses highlighted five clear priorities: improving access to health services, bringing empty buildings back into use, making the town feel safer, keeping streets clean and tidy, and creating more places for young people to socialise. With the government's endorsement now secured, the council has said that work can begin on a series of projects designed to support long-term economic and social regeneration. One of the most significant schemes focuses on the Conge, where acquisition, enabling works and preparations are underway, ahead of a major residential development ready approved by planners. Vacant and derelict buildings across the town will also be targeted for repurposing, with an emphasis on reducing blight, protecting heritage assets and increasing footfall. Alongside this, a new town centre task force has been created to ensure streets and shop frontages are kept clean, fly tipping is tackled, empty properties are brought back into use, and antisocial behaviour is addressed through stronger enforcement powers. Arts, culture and community events will form another strand of the programme, with the council working with partners to develop activities that encourage inclusive participation in public spaces. A wider campaign will also aim to foster civic pride by linking with groups such as Visit GY and the Town Centre Partnership. Green spaces will receive dedicated investment, with resources committed to improving parks, planting schemes and landscape management. Volunteers will be encouraged to take part in maintaining and enhancing these areas to increase community involvement and boost the quality of public spaces. Heritage will be supported through a new investment fund delivered in partnership with the Great Yarmouth Preservation Trust. This will focus on restoring historic buildings and encouraging greater public engagement with the town's built environment. Health provision is another key priority. New preventative town centre health and dental facilities are planned to bring services closer to communities, helping people return to work and reducing health inequalities. Work is also underway to secure Sport England funding to improve facilities for young people, giving them safe and enjoyable places to meet friends and take part in activities. A campaign aimed specifically at younger residents will encourage volunteering, civic engagement and pride in the town, empowering them to play a more active role in shaping their communities. Henry Cater, chairman of the Independent Town Board, welcomed the government's decision. He said, The town board worked hard with residents to focus on issues that really matter to them. This programme is a reflection of those priorities, and following government endorsement, it's fantastic things can now get underway. Alongside the main Pride in Place programme, the board has approved a further package of schemes funded by an additional £1.5 million of immediate government support. These include £320,000 for a five-year programme to refurbish or replace play equipment across priority sites, and £200,000 to improve heating and reduce running costs at Peggotty Road Community Centre. A further £150,000 will enhance St George's Park and Gorston Cliffs with better paths, landscaping and inclusive play options. Another £200,000 will support the restoration of Caister Cemetery and the Grade 2 listed Gorston Old Cemetery Lodge to create distinctive family homes. And finally, £62,000 will reinstate the Gorston Carnegie Clock, which has been in storage since 1975, with a new location identified outside the Feathers pub.
An empty shop is set to become a new laundrette after plans were approved. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has given the green light to convert the disused retail unit at 97 Blackfriars Road into a laundrette. The plans, submitted by Mr. Ajanthan Thiruchandran, will see the installation of 6 washing machines along the southwest side of the building and 6 dryer machines along the northeast side. There will also be a customer waiting area at the front of the site and 2 dry cleaning machines at the back of the building. The laundrette will be open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. with 1 full-time employee on site. The current site comprises a house and an adjoining shop unit which has not been used for retail since July 2022. It includes a 2-storey house to the back and single-storey section to the front, with the existing retail space at the front. It is situated close to Friars Tower, part of the Great Yarmouth Town walls, with the northern residential section and a small paved area in front separating the site from the tower. The building will neither be extended nor modified externally, and there will not be a change to the elevation of the site. No alterations to the windows or layout of the existing shop will take place. The house will remain as a dwelling and will be completely separate to the area used for the laundrette. The Conservation Officer and the Highways Authority raised no objections to the scheme. No comments were received from local councillors or in the public consultation. Conditions of planning approval include adhering to the opening hours, and the applicant will need to contact Environmental Health before installing the dry cleaning machines in the laundrette.
The tower complex is set to get new antennas and radio equipment to help boost mobile phone coverage on the coast. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has approved plans involving the removal and installation of new communication equipment on the Atlantis Tower in Great Yarmouth. The proposal, submitted by Cornerstone Telecommunications Infrastructure Limited, will see the current 6 antennas along with their support poles removed and 9 new antennas on new tripod frames installed in their place. The new antennas will reach a top height of 26.3 metres, which is 1.3 metres taller than the existing antennas. 2 300 millimetre transmission dishes and 10 remote radio units will also be installed. Cornerstone, a mobile infrastructure services company, has a commercial relationship with Virgin Media O2, that's VMO2, which is in the process of upgrading a number of its sites to provide bolstered 2G and 4G coverage and new 5G service provision. The company says that upgrading the radio base station will allow VMO2 to enhance the existing 4G coverage, whilst also new 5G service provision to the immediate area along Great Yarmouth Seafront. In addition, it says the three additional antennas and the relocating of the existing antennas are required to facilitate all the data that is required to be carried for mobile super-fast broadband. The Council's Conservation Officer raised no objection to the plans and said that the proposed scheme will not adversely change the character of the area given the existing antennae on the roof. No comments were received from neighbours in the public consultation, while English Heritage and local councillors did not comment on the proposal. Built in the 1960s, the Atlantis Tower was described as an apart hotel complex with apartments. Located on Marine Parade, the Golden Mile landmark went up on the site of the old Coast Guard station.
The Shadows there, of course, and the number called Atlantis. Quite appropriate, I thought. Well, more news shortly, but first a reminder that we've all the Vision Norfolk events for May in Grapevine Extra, plus Desney's look at the week's TV. First, though, here's Margaret with some news in brief.
A man has been arrested after a child was seriously injured in a crash. The incident happened at about 11:20 a.m. on Sunday when an orange Vauxhall Corsa collided with concrete bollards at the north end of North Drive's turning circle in Great Yarmouth. The child, who was a passenger in the car, was taken to hospital after sustaining serious injuries, where they remain. The driver of the car, a man in his 30s, was arrested on suspicion of driving carelessly and causing injury, as well as drug driving. He was taken into custody at Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for further questioning. and the suspect was granted bail while the investigation is underway. Five new life-saving defibrillators are now available in Greater Anglia's Wherry Lines between Norwich, Great Yarmouth and Lowestoft, thanks to an application from Norfolk-based charity Heart to Heart. Funded through the Train Operators Customer and Community Improvement Fund, the devices have been installed at Brundle, Acle, Great Yarmouth, Oulton Broad North and Cantley stations. Scott Dolling, Partnerships Manager at Greater Anglia, said, "The installation of these defibrillators means we are better prepared to respond in the event of a medical emergency. In an emergency, people should call 999 to receive a code to access the device and follow the instructions provided." A Gilbert and Sullivan concert will be performed in traditional style at a Norfolk church. The performance from the Wandering Minstrels will take place at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, June the 6th at St Catherine's Church in Ludham. Helen Winter, Emma Stratton, Charles Mills, Bruce Graham and Tim Hurst Brown will perform, accompanied by Peter Hewitt on the piano. The concert, titled The World of Gilbert and Sullivan, will feature excerpts from well-known works such as The Pirates of Penance, The Gondoliers and The Mikado. Tickets, priced at £15, can be purchased from Ludham Butchers on 01692 678 226 or at the door. Refreshments will be available during the interval. According to the group, the concert promises it to be a thoroughly delightful evening. A shop on King Street has applied for a licence to sell alcohol. The Romanesque and Baltic Market at 167 King Street has submitted an application to Great Yarmouth Borough Council's licensing department. The shop is seeking permission to sell alcohol for consumption off the premises from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. The premises was the former home of the Salvation Army charity shop in the town. Raiders Community Care has taken over the 24/7 on-site care contract at Swallowtail Place, an independent living scheme for over 55s in Acle. The 58-apartment complex was opened in 2022 as a partnership between Saffron Housing Trust and Norfolk County Council. But last month, the Care Quality Commission inspectors said the safety of older people living at the complex has been put at risk because of failings by care provider Norse Care, which has since pulled out of the scheme. Inspectors made unannounced visits to the complex between Great Yarmouth and Norwich in November after concerns about poor care and governance by Norse Care.
Right, it's time to get you fully up to date with the rest of this week's local news.
The future of a landmark local venue remains uncertain more than 2 years after it closed its doors, as council officials are still negotiating the terms of sale to a construction firm. It is believed that Great Yarmouth Borough Council is continuing to work towards selling the freehold of the Ocean Room on Pier Plain in Galston to Bespoke Construction Group, a King's Lynn company, named as preferred bidder last September. However, heads of terms have yet to be agreed. A council spokesperson said, "Like any complex property transaction, there are conditions to ensure the progress of any development or renovation is carried out in a timely manner. As part of the ongoing negotiations, there are provisions to buy back the building if it should become necessary." The Art Deco building has stood empty since March 2024, when previous tenants and operators, Ocean Room Entertainments, went into administration. Bespoke Construction Group, which has pledged to work with Norwich Architects, Fielden and Mawson, on a redevelopment sympathetic to the building's heritage, declined to provide details. A spokesperson said the company was not in a position to comment on any specific projects at this time. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for Fylden and Mawson said initial investigations are underway, and once we are in a position to do so, we will be happy to comment further and share details of our proposals. Bespoke Construction Group's preferred bid had promised a special purpose vehicle, a term for a dedicated company to manage the project, though it is not clear whether that has yet been established. Questions remain over the financing of the project. A previous company linked to Bespoke's director went into voluntary liquidation in 2020 with debts of nearly £1.7 million. The council had previously suggested the venue could reopen by 2028. Before that happens, the building, built in 1939, needs extensive repairs, estimated to cost £800,000.
Gorston Pavilion Theatre is set to host a major bank holiday weekend event. The event, part of the theatre's 125th birthday celebrations, will feature a range of activities to honour the venue's history and community spirit. On Saturday, May the 2nd, the festivities will kick off with a celebration of Old Time Music Hall. This event will see performers from the theatre's past summer seasons return to the stage for a fundraising show. Audience favourites Ollie Day and Nigel Boy-Sire will be among those performing. The celebrations will continue on Sunday, May the 3rd, with a May Day festival at the Pavilion Bandstand. Visitors can enjoy live performances from the Nightingales and the Rogue Shanty Boys, as well as traditional Punch and Judy shows. There will also be a maypole dancing display by the Dancers' School and family-friendly activities such as bunting making and tombolas. An educational tent will provide information about the origins and traditions of May Day. A highlight of the festival will be the crowning of the theatre's first ever May Day champion. This title will be awarded to an individual who's made a significant positive impact within the local community. Nominations can be made by emailing events@pavtheatre.com with photos and details explaining why the nominee deserves the honour. The celebrations will conclude with a May Day after party in the theatre bar featuring live music from Alex Mallett. Mr. Mallett, who previously appeared on The X Factor as part of the duo ITG, has a special connection to the Pavilion, as his late mother, Lisa Marie, was a vocalist in the theatre's summer season. The theatre encourages people to follow its social media channels for full schedules and updates.
A disabled man involved in a police misconduct case when he was manhandled in a wheelchair has admitted racially abusing hospital staff in a row over vaping. Two officers were investigated by the police watchdog but were subsequently cleared for their actions while arresting Michael McQueen in Great Yarmouth in 2024. McQueen, 38, who has a long history of attacks on emergency workers, appeared at Norwich Magistrates Court over an incident at the James Paget Hospital on April the 27th. He pleaded guilty to racially aggravated harassment of a ward sister and assaulting a security guard. Simon Jessop, prosecuting, said while receiving treatment, he had become aggressive, throwing a sick bowl at the sister and subjecting her to foul-mouthed racist terms. He then assaulted the security worker, telling him, "I'm going to knock your expletive head off." McQueen of Salisbury Road in Great Yarmouth was sentenced to 18 weeks, suspended for 12 months. He was previously jailed and made subject of a 2-year banning order after repeated incidents of antisocial behaviour. Following the 2024 incident, the Independent Office for Police Conduct, IOPC, cleared a police officer of punching McQueen after he had been threatened with a glass bottle and spat at.
The mural featuring images of Queen Elizabeth II and the Union Jack has been removed from the town's railway station amid local disappointment and anger. The artwork was painted on the side of the station and displayed two portraits of the late monarch alongside a picture of the train that brought her to the town in 1985. A large Union flag also sat at the centre of the painting, which was created by arts group Represent, in partnership with Greater Anglia and Great Yarmouth Borough Council to mark the Queen's Jubilee in 2022. However, in recent days, the artwork has been painted over, reportedly by staff working for Community Rail Norfolk, which works alongside Greater Anglia. A Greater Anglia spokesperson said, "The mural outside Great Yarmouth Station had been in place for a number of years and had deteriorated, including damage to the structure it was mounted on and repeated instances of vandalism. As part of wider improvement works at the station, including repainting and enhancements to the station building, it was removed to ensure the area remained safe and well presented for customers." The company added that it recognises the contribution artwork makes to stations and the local community, and the role community art can play in improving the station environment. Represent said they were very disappointed by the removal of the mural. "We are sad to inform the community that our Platinum Jubilee mural at Great Yarmouth train station has been removed without our knowledge," they said. "Funded and delivered as part of our Jubilee project, the mural was an important part of the town's heritage and our mural art trail. We know there was some repairing that we needed to do, but we were fundraising for it," they added. The artwork's disappearance has prompted sadness and anger among locals. Amanda Thompson said, "Shocking, it was lovely, and at the time of what would have been her 100th birthday too." In 2022, vandals damaged the artwork and defaced the mural.
A Norfolk father and son duo are set to return home after cycling more than 18,000 miles around the world in a bid to break three world records. George Kohler and his son Joshua Kohler from near Acle have journeyed through 31 countries across four continents to raise money for UNICEF. They are approaching the finishing line on the street in Halvergate after raising more than £36,000 for the UN agency. After setting off on March the 29th last year, they're aiming to smash three Guinness World Records. One, to become the fastest father and son to circumnavigate the world on bicycles. Two, to cycle through the most countries by a father and son. And three, travel the furthest distance by a father and son on bicycles. Their astonishing odyssey has taken them right across Europe, Asia, South America and Australia, with Joshua vlogging the journey on his YouTube channel. They've journeyed across the Silk Road of Tajikistan, across the vast expanses of China, the rainforest of Southeast Asia, and the mountains of New Zealand and the Andes. People can welcome them home on the street in Halvergate on Saturday, May the 2nd at 2 p.m. Afterwards, people can join them at the Halvergate QE2 Playing Field Bar, where there will also be a pizza truck.
A road with a history of sinking could finally be made safe after years of collapses and closures after repair work began this week. The £1.3 million project will see Norfolk County Council build a new retaining wall along Riverside Road in Galston. The road, which runs alongside the River Yare, has suffered years of erosion and tidal wash that have steadily eaten away at its foundations. Locals say they often avoid the route, describing it as dangerous and comparing the crumbling edges to cliff erosion. A spokesperson for Norfolk County Council said, "The river wall, which is not owned by Norfolk County Council, has failed, and this is causing the tide and water of the river to wash away the base of the carriageway. So we have scheduled in emergency works, which are due to start this week and should take around 5 working days from start of the works to complete. The existing wall, which supports the road, has deteriorated so badly that part of it is considered beyond economic repair."
As reported last week, the Sheringham Shantymen performed at Great Yarmouth Hippodrome Circus for the first time in the venue's 123-year history. The results are in, and the fundraising event has raised more than £9,000 for the RNLI with that historic performance. The circus, known for its international acts and water shows, provided a special backdrop for the shantymen's lively sea shanties, folk ballads and maritime arrangements. The Reverend Albert Cadmore, BEM, chair of the Great Yarmouth and Galston RNLI Fundraising Guild, expressed gratitude to attendees and the Jay family for their generous donation and for hosting the event. The funds raised will support the Great Yarmouth and Galston Lifeboat Station in their life-saving efforts. The event was a resounding success, and the Hippodrome's Pirate Lagoon and ship added to the evening's atmosphere.
A man has been jailed for 3 years after he was caught by paedophile hunters trying to meet up with young girls and rape them. Kevin Eagle had sent increasingly aggressively sexual messages to what he thought were children, but were in fact adults using decoy accounts to catch sex offenders. Norwich Crown Court heard the 56-year-old of Walpole Road, Great Yarmouth, had given false details about himself to the 6 people he contacted, who purported to be between 11 and 13. He told one of them, "Meet me and I will rape you." Nicola May, prosecuting, said Eagle asked the people he contacted to send him full-body pictures as well as images of them in their school uniform. He would tell them he loved them and asked if they would be his girlfriend. Miss May said the messages sent by the defendant were aggressively sexual and involved him telling the girls what he wanted to do to them and describing them in derogatory ways like "little slut." Eagle also sent the profiles, videos of himself masturbating to the girls, as well as images of his genitals. The prosecutor said Eagle, in his messaging, he became increasingly demanding and aggressive. But the paedophile hunters orchestrated a situation where they met the defendant at Wensum Court in Baker Street, Galston. Police were contacted and he was arrested. Miss May said the paedophile hunters had with them an evidence pack, which was handed to officers when he was arrested in July the 15th, 2022. Eagle appeared in court for sentencing this month after he previously admitted a number of sexual offences. He admitted 6 counts of attempted sexual communication with a child, 3 counts of attempting to cause a child to engage in sexual activity, and 2 offences of attempting to cause or incite a child to engage in sexual activity. Jailing Eagle for 3 years, Judge Catherine Moore said Eagle, who had been aggressively sexual with those he conversed with. She said he was demanding and commanding at times, which she said was a concerning feature of this troubling offending. Andrew Oliver, mitigating, said Eagle had taken full responsibility for his offending and had fully accepted his behaviour was to obtain sexual gratification. The barrister said at the time of the offending, Eagle was drinking to excess as well as being lonely and isolated. Eagle was made the subject of a sexual harm prevention order, SHPO, indefinitely, as well as being put on the sex offenders register, also indefinitely.
A tea room in a coastal village is set to embark on an exciting new chapter under new ownership. Louise Bensley is setting up Ruby's Tea Room, a brand new tea room, on the street in Hemsby as the current owner steps away. Elaine Oxborough of Kia's Home Bakes will now focus on a new home baking venture, opening up the chance for the new owner at the helm of the much-loved tea room. Mrs. Bensley said, "It is a wonderful opportunity to create something special in Hemsby. I'm looking forward to becoming part of the community." After almost a decade serving the Hemsby community with cakes and bakes, Ms. Oxborough is now setting up a new cake shed business in Martham. She will continue to supply cakes to the new tea room, while Ye Olde Bakery in Caister will provide the bakery products and the bread rolls. Ms. Oxborough said, "I've loved every minute of serving the community here in Hemsby, but the time feels right to take a step back and start a new chapter closer to home." Ruby's Tea Room officially opens on May the 7th with a new menu.
A family who set out to transform their autistic son's life are overjoyed after hitting their £15,000 fundraising target. Charlie Houston, who has just turned six and lives with his family in Bradwell, has autism spectrum disorder, is non-verbal and has severe learning disabilities. His parents launched an appeal in late 2025 to fund a bespoke trained autism assistance dog, which they hoped would help keep him safe, reduce distress and give him more independence. Now Dad Dave says the community's response has been unbelievable. "What a ride the past few months have been," he said. "It snowballed. People have really taken it to their hearts. We have been so well supported locally." The total raised will go towards a dog trained through a specialist charity to meet Charlie's specific needs, including intervening when he hurts himself. Supporters have one last chance to get involved in fundraising celebrations, and the additional money will go towards covering the family's travel costs to and from the training facility. A final event, Charlie Fest, a cause for pause, will be held at the pub on the Shrubs in Gorleston on May the 2nd. There will be a children's entertainer from 1 p.m. to 2:45 p.m., followed by a lineup of local bands playing live music from 3 p.m. until late. Dave added, "We thank every individual that donated and shared online. We want to highlight efforts made from Scribbles Nurseries, Belarus 248 Oil Rig, Darts Gear Competitions, Black Sheep Cricket Club, Caister Coffee Morning, the Rumbold Arms Bar 1, the Bellevue Pub on the Shrubs and the Mariner's Compass. We were also delighted with how everyone supported our Ollie's fundraising tandem skydive jump, which was amazing. A huge thank you to all the organisers and people giving their time, setting up and running events, and to the prize donors for their amazing raffle. We've been blown away by everyone's kindness."
A man who pleaded guilty to using a JCB to try and steal a cash machine from a Norfolk garage will be sentenced next month. Alan Smith was charged after a digger was driven into an ATM on the forecourt of the BP service station on Southgates Road, Great Yarmouth, shortly before midnight on November the 26th last year. As officers arrived, the JCB was driven away, hitting a fuel pump and damaging vehicles along Exmouth Road. A man was then arrested on nearby Ordnance Road. Smith, 47, of no fixed address, will be sentenced at Norwich Crown Court on May the 5th. He had been due to be dealt with on previous occasions, including dates in February and March, but the case got adjourned to a new date. Smith previously admitted aggravated vehicle taking, attempted theft and criminal damage at a court appearance on January the 2nd this year.
A local zoo in Norfolk announced the arrival of a red-listed animal. Thrigby Hall Wildlife Gardens announced the news on Tuesday that Kai Latt, a female clouded leopard, has joined Thrigby Hall Wildlife Gardens from Shepreth Wildlife Park near Cambridge. In the coming weeks, Kai Latt will be gradually introduced to the park's male clouded leopard, Nimbus, as part of a coordinated conservation breeding programme. Kai Latt and Nimbus have been paired following a formal recommendation from the European Clouded Leopard Stud Book. A spokesman for Thrigby Hall Wildlife Garden said, "We're thrilled to welcome Kai Latt to Thrigby Hall. Her arrival is an important step in our ongoing commitment to conservation and the management of threatened species. The redevelopment of our enclosure ensures we can provide the highest standards of welfare while also contributing meaningfully to international breeding programmes. Visitors to Thrigby Hall Wildlife Gardens will soon be able to see Kai Latt as she settles into her new surroundings." And the zoo also recently saw the addition of a female tiger.
Great Yarmouth has been named one of the top coastal spots to visit in the UK this year. Yarmouth was ranked among the 16 best seaside towns by travel experts in Time Out's latest guide. The town was described as top tier and was praised for its old school greatness revived. New investment, heritage, entertainments and a wide variety of attractions were among the reasons for the accolade. Asa Morrison, chief executive of Visit Great Yarmouth, said, "To have travel experts recognise, celebrate and encourage people to visit our unique mix of appeal to visitors is wonderful and makes worthwhile all the effort our businesses put in all year round to make Great Yarmouth a destination for everyone to enjoy, whatever age or interests. There really is something for everyone." Time Out highlighted the town's ongoing regeneration, noting that it is receiving a once-in-a-generation revamp with key sites such as the 19th century Maritime House and the Art Deco Iron Duke pub set to reopen. The guide also pointed to existing attractions, including the Pleasure Beach, the Hippodrome Circus, the Time and Tide Museum and the recently refurbished Britannia Pier, which won the Pier of the Year award after a four-year, £2 million investment. Nathan Race, chair of Visit Great Yarmouth, added, "To have the investment and vision recognised is something we are delighted about. Individuals and businesses are working so hard to achieve this alongside our traditional attractions and entertainment, our miles of incredible beaches and seafront. Looking at others on the list, we are in excellent company and should be very proud to be named among them." Wells Next the Sea was the only other Norfolk destination mentioned in the guide.
Well, that's all for this week's news. Desney will be along with her look at the week's TV in a while. First, though, a Vision Norfolk event for your information, followed by the activity rundown for May in Grapevine Extra. Well, firstly, that special event, Ms. Misra, consultant ophthalmologist from the NNUH Eye Clinic, is giving a talk at the Bradbury Activity Centre on Friday the 8th of May at 12:30 p.m. as part of our support group meetings for those with macular degeneration and glaucoma. The address for our centre is Vision Norfolk, the Bradbury Activity Centre, Beckham Place, Norwich, NR3, 3DZ. The meeting's free to attend, but please note that car parks on Edward Street are now closed, with the nearest car parks in Colgate. Buses are now running as normal, serving the former Angular Square stops on Magdalen Street and on Edward Street. All are very welcome to attend this event. Right, it's on to May's events, and on Monday the 4th, the hub is actually closed for the bank holiday. So on Tuesday the 5th, the hub will be open on that Tuesday, but the only event to mention is at Caister, where it's the Caister Coffee Morning from 10 until 12 noon, with the second of the month on Tuesday the 19th at the same times. Wednesday the 6th is the first Yarmouth Coffee Morning, with the others on the 13th, the 20th and the 27th, all from 10 until 12. The Ormsby Coffee Morning for May is on Thursday the 7th at the same times. Back to the 6th for the first yoga session of the month, with the second on Wednesday the 20th, both from 12:30 until 1:30. Cribbage is on Thursdays the 7th, the 14th, the 21st and the 28th from 10 until 12. And the pub club dates for the month are Thursday the 7th and the 21st, both from 1 until 3 p.m. The weaving group meets on the 8th and the 15th from 10 until 12 noon, with the creative writing group also on the 8th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m, during which time and date you could alternatively enjoy a game of tennis. The once per month is now in date order. Monday the 11th has quiz and cake from 11 until 1 p.m. and the Yarmouth Hub Games from 2 until 4. Tuesday the 12th features bowling from 12 until 3, with Thursday the 14th hosting both Stitch, Knit and Natter and the Braille Group from 1 until 3. Friday the 15th is archery from 11 until 1, and on Monday the 18th it's burger and bingo from 11 until 1, and Friday the 22nd is the Latchhook Group from 10 until 12 noon. Right, Monday the 25th, the hub is closed for another bank holiday, but Tuesday the 26th is busy with tea and tech from 10 until 12 and a seafront walk from 1 until 3. Breakfast Club for May is on Wednesday the 28th from 10 until 12, with Braille on the same day from 1 until 3. Whilst finishing the month, it's the Audio Book Club on Friday the 29th from 1:30 until 3 p.m. If you've any queries on any of these events, the number to call is 01493 745 973. That's 01493 745 973. Or you can email catherine.bond@visionnorfolk.org.uk. And as usual, Catherine is with a C and Vision Norfolk is all one word. Well, that's it, the events for Vision Norfolk for May. On now to Disney for the telly.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to this week's look at the TV and radio for the next 7 days. There are many, many pages in the Radio Times this week dedicated to, and I'm sure he's mentioned in all the other TV mags as well, Sir David Attenborough, who turns 100 on Friday the 8th of May. With a special event at the Royal Albert Hall, hosted by Kirsty Young to honour his long career, we'll be seeing and hearing from public figures, leading advocates for the natural world and former colleagues. We're invited to join in the celebrations, featuring wildlife stories set to live music from the BBC Concert Orchestra and other musical performances as well, and with tributes from Chris Packham, Liz Bonin and Steve Backshall. So that is David Attenborough's 100 Years on Planet Earth on BBC One on Friday the 8th of May from 8:30 until 10 o'clock. But that's not all you can see or hear of David Attenborough this weekend, because every day except Monday, when they do late at night repeat what was on Sunday, there is a programme from the past, one of David's best documentaries. On Sunday, though, there is a programme about the making of Life on Earth, which was his first project, which he started in 1976, and it took until 1979 to put together before its first broadcast, when 500 million people altogether are said to have watched Life on Earth. So if you were one of those 500 million, well, you weren't alone, were you? The other programmes during the week are on Tuesday, Planet Earth, BBC Two, that is, at 7.30, Planet Earth 2, A World of Wonder. On Wednesday at 7.30, there's one from the Blue Planet too, Oceans of Wonder. And on Thursday at 8 p.m, there's The Best of Seven Worlds, One Planet. So I think you will probably find yourself looking at something by David Attenborough during this week. And happy birthday, sir. Now for a few other programmes that you might like to watch. MasterChef is in its third week. So if you're still a fan of that, you've got new hosts who are Anna, the Irish chef, and Grace Dent, the food critic, isn't she? That's who she is, yeah. So it's on three times a week. This is going to be the third heat. They start off with six one day, six the next, and then they end up with three of them, I think. Or was it two of them? Going through to the quarterfinal, to the semi-final after the quarters on the Friday. Yeah, that sounded complicated, more complicated than I meant to make it. On Monday to Thursday, on Channel 5, there is a new thriller. It's called Number One Fan, and it stars both Sally Lindsay and Jill Halfpenny. Jill plays Lucy Logan, the cheerful daytime TV presenter, and Sally is apparently her number one fan. And she, one day, bravely intervenes in an attempted mugging in a supermarket car park. And so that's how they start to become friends. But does she have ulterior motives, as through gratitude she is soon taken on into Lucy's inner circle? Well, you'll have four nights to wait and see, because it's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Channel 5, 9 p.m. On Thursday at 9 p.m. on BBC Two, Lucy Worsley starts another investigation. Lucy Worsley investigates, this time, Princes in the Tower. She is a well-known historian, and if you've seen a series of hers before, you might well have done, because this is series two. I don't know what series one was about, but this one is the two princes in the tower. Remember them? They were Edward and Richard, and they were the sons of Edward IV, and they are alleged to have been killed by their wicked uncle, Richard III, so that he could get on the throne and get the heirs from his Edward IV out of the way. Well, we'll see whether Lucy Worsley agrees with that theory or whether she has one of her own. Now, finally, let's have a look at a bit of sport. It's the last day of the championship in football, and you'll have the Hull-Norwich match, the last one of their season, on Radio Norfolk from 12, probably, because all those matches kick off at 12:30 for the final one on Saturday. If you are not a Norwich fan, if you are an Ipswich fan, then you must know that they are still within a chance of promotion. So, but it all depends whether they can get a win or not. They need to get a win to be absolutely certain. But they have 81 points, I think, in the championship, with Millwall just behind them on 80 and Middlesbrough 79. So, well, they've got to hope they don't win while they are losing. So many combinations, you can't possibly work it out. But if you're interested, that's how it goes, the last day of the championship on Saturday. Also this weekend, you can go back to Formula One, if you're a fan of that, because it's the Miami Grand Prix. We lost a couple of Grand Prix because of what was going on in the Middle East, but now back to Miami, and there will be coverage on Sky, definitely on Sunday for the final race, which is, the race is at 7 p.m, but I think, no, it's at 9 p.m, and the Sky coverage starts at 7 p.m. Saturday, there are the sprint races and practice races, and they're on at 4:55 till 6 and 8:55 till 10 on Sky. And then on Sunday and Monday, we have the finals of the Snooker World Championship. It's still on. They're still trying to find the semi-finalists at the moment, I think. The semi-finals are being played, rather, for the finals. The final matches are on Sunday and Monday, and they are two sessions a day, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Monday session will finish when it finishes, because that's one of the sports where you can't tell how long something is going to last. So I hope you found something in there which you might enjoy, and I look forward to seeing you next month.
Well, that's it for this week. Grapevine is copyright 2026 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Next week, your newsreaders will be Julie and the other Margaret. So, we look forward to your company for that. But, in the meantime, here's hoping that you stay safe and well. So, from all your friends at Grapevine, have a good week, and it's bye for now.